Is it hard to maintain that attitude when we live in a country where people like Eric Garner can be choked to death by police and they not be arrested? Trayvon Martin, Ferguson, Missouri. I could stay here for 5 minutes talking about what's happened in the last 5 years.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's an interesting balance, right? Because, again, you look at the time, you go to the past, and you look at the time of, you know, countless other deaths, but then, like, the highlighted deaths of Medgar, Malcolm Martin, and then everything inside of all that. And I think what history shows me is that some of the most beautiful, inspired, potent music came out of all of that, came out during that time. And, you know, for me, when those deaths kept happening, you know, I remember I wrote, there's a song on Liberation of the Kingdom of Nuri called, it first started out, it was called Meditation for Michael. And it was after the Michael Brown verdict, and where, you know, you're on the social media and you just see everybody in this traumatic outrage. And when you get on there and it's amplified, and then came a point where I had to back off, and all I knew how to do was write a song. That was my own meditation and my own sort of way of dealing with it and processing it. But then what was interesting is it turned that to EMTT, which was Eric, Michael, Trayvon, and Tamir. Then after that, so many deaths just kept lining up, and it's like, then it became a prayer, Lord, let this be the last time. Because after a while, it's like, okay, how many initials can you keep adding? I think in these times, dealing with the things emotionally as accurately and as in depth as one possibly can, because now more than ever, that attitude of soulful, loving defiance needs to be, like, amplified.
I am thinking of Charles Mingus and a composition called Fables of Phoebus,
yes.
Right? And because of the heart space and soul space and gravity of spiritual expression that Mingus was engaged in, we know the tune, whereas the subject has become a footnote in history. We have to Google that to figure out who he was talking about, which says something about what's lasting. Mm-hmm. And it's the gesture you're talking about that is lasting, and the gestures that are small and petty are seen as that, and increasingly more so as time goes by, and hopefully we evolve. Although I say that with a caveat, considering who the so-called ruler of the United States is, the SCROTUS at this time. That's what we call it. And my friend, the poet Jose Coser, calls him El Codillo Analfabetico, which means the illiterate strongman.
Wow.
Which is, I think, the level of language we need to use when we're dealing with people like that.
Indeed.
One other really difficult thing to ask you about is there was a woman, a white artist, who displayed at the Whitney Biennial a painting of Emmett Till in his casket. Mm. And there was a protest saying, she's a white woman. She doesn't have the right to paint this. I asked Quincy Troop about it, and he said, I'm for free expression, which, you know, okay, he's a 70-ish man, and, you know, he's had his time in life. I mean, he's successful and has it good. He could have easily said, I'm with them, but he didn't. He says, I'm for free expression about that. How do you feel about that? Is there a difference between cultural appropriation and an authentic gesture of sympathy for what happened?
This is a question that I always dance with and work with. And my thing is always this. There is a way, you know, culture is such an interesting thing, because I think you have situations where culture transcends can transcend how people look, the people's skin color, whatever. I it's interesting growing up in Seattle when I did, because what I would think about when I think about Seattle is not black, white, but more of a multicultural interaction. And growing up around, like my first friend being this Filipino kid that lived across the street, and then being around Tongan folks, Samoan folks, Mexican folks, folks from Laos, folks from Thailand. Like, this was normal. This was my growing up.
In this neighborhood.
In this neighborhood, yeah. My first friend in kindergarten, Dion Bethea, was half black, half Mexican. Our friend after that, we're still friends to this day. My friend after that, Dylan Porter, who was half black, half white. My first girlfriend's was a half Japanese, half Swedish girl. Then I have my buddy check this name out, Travis Nakamura, who, you know, whose mother's from like South King County, who met a Japanese man, and then Dan Nicholas, who was born in Korea, his mother married a black man, and when he came to Seattle, he grew up in black culture, and so when I met him, he has this black American accent just because it's what he was around. So there's this aspect of like being in the culture and being an experiencer of a culture, no matter what you look like. And then there's, I mean, it comes down to respect, reverence, and I think if someone's painting a picture of Emmett Till because it's only looking at the shock and horror and atrocity of it all, I feel like using it only for that, there's some issue. But if someone has it, like, can look at this kind of heart resonance there, that this, I mean, the reason why the casket was open is because Emmett Till's mother wanted people to see and to not turn away from the horror. And I think, you know, again, for me, it has to do with a lot of intent. It has to do with are you just using this as a symbol, or have you spent time? I think with anything, if you spend time just working with the emotional content of a subject or a music. I mean, one of the things I love about music is that it's a passport to get to know people that transcends language, that transcends genre, I mean, transcends any kind of division. And at the same time, it's like you pay respect. It's like, it's an interesting thing. I think sometimes it's even a simple matter of heart. It's a simple matter of like honoring with one's own heart and one's own emotions, like the tradition of whatever it is. I mean, I play in groups that are traditional of traditional Venezuelan music, Cuban music, and the highest compliment for me after playing those musics is when folks will come up to me from those regions and just start riffing off in Spanish. And I think part of that isn't, like, you know, again, I speak like a 2-year-old, not even that. But there's something to that. Again, it's a unique line. I'm for free expression, and I'm also for people doing their homework. And I feel like if you can encourage free expression and someone doing their soul emotional homework in doing that, I think that goes a long way.
This is an opportunity for that artist to do their homework,
mm-hmm.
because if it is in fact a soul gesture, which I think it is,
mm-hmm.
then they have to really take to heart what the criticism is and then realize that these people are either projecting,
mm-hmm.
or she didn't do her homework. So
yep.
it's an interesting come to Jesus moment, yes. for this woman,
yes.
so to speak.
Indeed.
Yeah.